I'm excited to talk to our next guest. She's written a book. It's not released, actually. I think it's released in about 3 days' time, looking at the countdown clock, looking at her website today. It's called The Mad Hatter MD, Where Medicine Imitates Art, and it's written by a medical doctor, Dr. Anita Campbell, who's got a story to tell, and I'm delighted to say she's in the studio with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Millsy.
Now, tell us a bit about your journey. First of all, you're a qualified doctor. Let's get that out into the open.
Yep, so I'm a GP that's been working in Perth as a GP for the last 5 years and as a doctor for the last 10 years.
Right. Did you ever think that you'd be writing a book entitled The Mad Hatter MD?
No, absolutely not.
Right. So just describe your journey because it's a lesson for all of us here.
Yeah, absolutely. So up until the start of 2019, I was perfectly well. I had my own medical practice, still have 3 children, very busy lifestyle, but managing well, played netball, lots of sports, that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden I developed sort of pins and needles in my feet. And it was really quite severe. It's the feeling of the pins and needles actually going away. You know, that really horrible feeling when you want to try and shake it out.
Yes.
And you can't.
Yes.
So I developed that very quickly, almost overnight. And that progressed up into my back. So all the way from the feet up into the back over the course of about 2 weeks. And I started to panic, obviously, because that's very abnormal and not something that you would expect. So I went to one of my colleagues and said, can you help me out here? I didn't want to diagnose myself. I wanted to do it properly.
Yeah, sure.
And so she got some bloods done urgently and found that I had a really low B12 level. And B12 is the vitamin that sort of supports the nerves in the body, so it's important for that to be high. I went straight to a neurologist. The neurologist basically said, I think this damage in your legs is going to be permanent. It's, you know, your level was so low that, you know, it's probably caused a bit of a spinal cord injury.
Oh, really?
So that was a big shock to me.
And you're a doctor, so you understand the medical side of all this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, he had other words for it, but basically he said spinal cord injury. And he quickly started me on vitamin B12 injections. So I had one a day for 9 days, which is, if there's anyone out there listening that's on B12, it's usually like once a month or once every 3 months.
Yeah, every day?
Yeah, so every day. And then I basically, that really did stop the progression of the symptoms. It didn't improve the symptoms at all, but it didn't keep going upwards in my body and it didn't get worse.
Meanwhile, though, you are a mother trying to manage a household and also trying to work. I mean, how do you manage all that?
Oh, it was absolutely crazy. And the worst thing was any of the pain medications that they tried to give me would make me cloudy or not be able to function. And so I, you know, sort of just plodded along. I went back to my GP a few times and said, look, I can't cope with this. Like, I'm really struggling. And they said, well, you're going to have to learn to live with it.
Wow. You're a doctor.
Yeah. Right. So from my perspective, I really wanted to know why my B12 level was low. And we did a few things. So, like, I had scopes and checked to make sure it wasn't that I wasn't absorbing it. But the neurologist was really interested that even with the injections, my B12 stayed low. It never got to a higher level. And so that was a bit of a mystery. But everybody sort of just thought, oh, well, you know, you're still traveling along. You've got your practice. You know, let's not worry about it. But then I started to develop cognitive and balance issues. And so things like having to grip the ground with my toes when I walked, just being clumsy. I couldn't concentrate at work. I couldn't organize myself. I was getting confused. So again and again, I went back to the doctors and said, you know, this is debilitating. I'm really, really worried that there's something seriously wrong with me.
Right.
And then they just continued to say that it's in your head. It's just stress. You need to do less. So at the end of the day, I did do less.
And to be fair, this is the things that you probably would have told other patients. You know, you need to have a relaxed lifestyle and all that.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right. And that, you know, like, I'm not sort of saying that was the wrong thing to say, but at the end of the day, I did close my practice and I went from working full time to another practice that was much better supported, and I only worked 2 days a week.
Right. So you still don't know what's wrong with you at this stage?
At this stage, no, I didn't
know. So traditional medicine really hasn't provided any form of comfort to you?
No.
Other than to realise you've got a very low level of B7?
12.
12, sorry.
Yeah. And so I basically got worse and worse. I started to have night sweats. I was bruising. And I ended up going to see a hematologist who thought that I could have a type of blood cancer. So I had a PET scan. And when I was waiting outside the PET scan, the doctor that came up to me to talk to me, and I think that he was doing that, you know, out of professional courtesy because he knew I was a doctor as well, he said to me, "Are you still working?" And I knew that he'd seen the pictures by then, and I really panicked because I thought, that's a strange question if everything's normal. And he said, "Why is your B12 low? Like, what's the explanation?" I said, "I don't know. Nobody's even really looked." And just as a coincidence, a few weeks later, I went on a work trip, and there were a whole heap of GPs there, and one of the GPs was this integrative GP, and she said, I told her about my problems, and she said, "Oh, you've got to come and see me. I think I know what's going on." And so within about 5 minutes of sitting down with her, telling her the story, giving her the progression of the symptoms, she said, "I think you've got a heavy metal poisoning." And I was sort of like blown away. I hadn't considered that. I had all my own theories that I'd, you know, tried to work out medically.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, like MS, Parkinson's, yes, you know, like the typical all the worst things. Yeah. As you do.
So how did she work out that it might have been metal poisoning?
So her theory initially was that it was because the B12 wouldn't go up.
Right.
So she said that with mercury and some other heavy metals, that they actually displace the B12 in your blood. So even though you're putting it in there,
right,
it pushes it aside.
Okay, so you've got some idea now that I might have metal poisoning. So where do you go from there?
Well, she asked me about my dental health, and I basically laughed and said, "Well, I've got about 10 mercury amalgams in my mouth from when I was, you know,
a child,
12 years old." And she said, "Well, I really want you to go and see a biological dentist." And before that, she'd actually done a hair follicle test as well, which showed high mercury in the hair. So then I went and saw this dentist, which was a few months later because it's quite a long wait at these places. And he looked in my mouth, and he knew that I was wanting to investigate mercury. He looked in my mouth and he just went, "Oh, my gosh." And he said, "Can I take a photo?" And that's when you worry. So he took a photo and put it up on the big screen, and he said, you actually have a battery in your mouth." And I was like blown away. I was excited because
finally
it was something.
Yes.
And then he explained to me that it was creating a voltage. And
you're kidding.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And this is fillings that you got here in Perth.
Yep.
And how many others would have been in the same boat, got a mercury-type filling that hadn't been crook or have got crook like you, didn't even know why?
Yeah, well, it actually turns out that it was the mercury fillings that I've had for all this time have probably been quite stable. It was at the start of 2019 when the symptoms started was when I had a bridge put in, and that bridge was made from 60% nickel.
And the reaction?
And the reaction between nickel and mercury in a acidic or salivary solution causes a galvanic current. So we measured the current and it was 77 millivolts. So I basically was on charge for 3 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm.
And so hence the reason for your book, Mad Hatter MD, because you thought you were going crazy because of the mercury reacting with that particular bridge.
Absolutely. And since I learned about that, I've done a lot of research, and, you know, the symptoms and the progression of my symptoms fit perfectly with chronic mercury poisoning. So the slow progression into basically dementia, which is what I was feeling.
Goodness.
I was in.
How old were you then, can I ask?
When this happened.
Yeah.
This was this year.
Right. So you're still a young, relatively
43.
Young person.
Yeah.
Really. How many people would be impacted by something similar to your journey, Anita?
I have no idea. Ever since I've sort of spoken out about it, a lot of people have said to me, why didn't you get your mercury fillings removed years ago? And I said, like, nobody's ever suggested it to me. No. It's never been...
I reckon I've got some. I reckon most people listening to us in my age bracket would probably have some as well.
Yeah.
And so it was only the reaction from the bridge that caused the reaction...
The galvanic current.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. And the galvanic current is what we believe caused the mercury to leach.
So you're a member of the medical profession. This book explains the journey and other tips that you've got to offer from your journey. How thankful are you that you ran into that doctor that said, I think I know what's wrong with you?
I actually dedicated the book to her because she literally saved my life, because I was just getting worse and worse. And, you know, to the point where I had colleagues even tell me that it was in my head.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was having trouble making words at this point. It looked like I'd had a stroke.
Incredible.
I was having twitches all over my face. And one GP even said to me, oh, you know, you need an antidepressant. You're just looking for a Grey's Anatomy moment. And now I think, I don't think I've seen this on Grey's Anatomy. I might have to send it
you
in.
You might have to write in. It'll probably make you a better doctor. Mad Hatter MD, I haven't read it yet, but I'm keen to have a look. Dr. Anita Campbell, a fascinating story and a fascinating read. Available if you have a look online, Mad Hatter MD. Thanks for joining and sharing your story this afternoon.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to see you. Dr. Anita Campbell there, GP and author of the Mad Hatter MD. Incredible, really. It's 11 to 2.